Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the beautiful day you blessed us with all throughout this day. So many blessings. And now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we do that. And be with us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, we'll turn to the letter of James. And James chapter 1. Picking it up in verse 12, as it reads, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." To them that love him. Those are the born-again Christians. As he continues, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Guidelines for us. If we truly love the Lord, we need to behave like it and have this compassion for others, this charity, this sincere concern for someone else's well-being is how we share that love that the Lord gives us. All right, now go to chapter 2 as he continues in James. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and hearers of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not them blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Those two great commandments. James is reemphasizing that here, that love that we are supposed to share with those and to have that sincere concern for someone else's well-being, those that are in need, to help them, and not to just lift up or honor or respect or treat properly those that are wealthy and think you're going to get something from them. That becomes selfishness and greed, but to help and assist and share the love with everyone, not based upon their position in the world as far as their status is concerned, but to all people. All right, now go to the first letter of Peter. And here we see in this chapter a reference to unfeigned love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. To love Jesus Christ, even though we of this time have not seen him face to face, like Peter was able to, but we love him. And this is revealed in our actions and our behaviors and our interaction with others. And it fills us with that joy unspeakable when we are filled with the joyfulness that the Lord can pour upon us. And then we turn around and share that with others. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 13 a little closer. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means keep your mind straight, keep it clean, keep it away from the pollution, away from the corruption, away from the distractions. Be sober. That means be clear-minded. Don't do anything or consume anything that can disturb that clearness of thought. And hope to the end. This isn't that wishful desire type of hope. This is confident anticipation, an expectation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God all the way to the end. for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This isn't just talking about verbal communication. This is talking about interaction with others. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That fear is that knowledge and understanding of there's the time of accountability. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel of is preached unto you. That unfeigned love, that great commandment, love God and to love others. And we are told right here to love the brethren, identifying specifically to have a special love for the fellow Christians. To love everyone, yes, but there's a difference, a different kind of love for the brethren. An unfeigned love of the brethren. All right, now go to chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, picking it up in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now we know this is a letter sent to the Christians, to the believers. But over and over we see through the writings of the apostles given to us the records of their behavior and the guidelines given to us for our behavior as Christians. We need to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not get back into the filthy lusts of the flesh, as he reemphasizes here. Dearly beloved. Here he's speaking of that unfeigned love for the brethren. Beloved, beloved brethren, speaking to the church, the born-again believers, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Here he's telling us to obey the law. The law of the governmental system that you are under, to obey that law. Now we're shown and told elsewhere, never put man's law above God's law. So if they're commanding you or demanding that you disobey God's law, you're not bound to do that. You need to obey God's law over man's law. But we are to be law-abiding citizens in a civilized world to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to be disruptive and rebellious, and so forth. Read that again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Emphasis once again, loving the fellow Christians. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Sometimes it's difficult to honor a king that might not be godly, a king that might be doing things that hurt the nation, a king, a president, a prime minister, whoever might be the leader. We've had many examples in this country of good leaders and bad leaders, but we are still supposed to honor that office of leadership and even the one that is in that office. Sometimes difficult, yes, but we are still to do that because, as he said there earlier, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The king, the prime minister, the leader, whatever his title is, whatever government system it is, but the governments and so forth are established for civilization and peace. So we need to honor that. All right, now go over to 1 Peter in chapter 3. It reads, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Here he's speaking of a situation where you have a couple that one has been born again and the other one not. We are to live a God-glorifying life in the presence of our spouse so that they may, by our lives, come to know the Lord. And here he's speaking specifically to wives to do that. It reads, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Like, focus on the beauty of inside, that it comes out and is displayed and seen. He's not telling us here not to pay any attention to our appearance, but he's telling us not to let the appearance of the outside be more important than the beauty of the inside. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Giving us that example of the past. Reads, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Love as brethren. Love as a family should be, to truly be concerned for someone else's well-being. That kind of love for the brotherhood, for the believers, for the husband and wife situation. As he continues, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. We all seem to be so eager to do the payback ourselves. Shouldn't be that way. We need to know to get out of the way. The Lord can do a better job of it than we can. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means flee from it, get away from it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. There'll be people that'll come up against you. There'll be people that falsely accuse you. There'll be people that say you are evil. It's the way the devil does. He likes to turn things around. Turn them around backwards. They proclaim that Christians are terrorists, that they're evil, that they're hateful. No, it's just the opposite. And by our well-doing, they will be put to shame. So we continue to love. We love each other in such a way that it shows the world that there's a difference. A difference among the Christians. How well they get along. How well they come together. And how well they love each other. It's a shame that we don't see more of that. We're told to do that. We should get busy at doing that very thing, to truly love the brethren. And that will overflow into our behavior in such a way that the world will see that and want to be a part of that. Then we can reach others and grow the brotherhood, grow the family of the church, grow the family of God. All right, now go to 1 John in chapter 1. Now here we see the example of the gospel's reference to forgiveness. It is an example of love. The word love is not used in these verses, but it emphasizes love itself in what he is doing for us and providing for us, and that is forgiveness itself, which is part of the love of the Lord for us. In the small epistle of John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is John talking about his own personal experience and the others as well, to interact with Jesus Christ, which is the Word. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But the example of love is right there in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That authority has been given to Jesus Christ because of the finished work that he did on that cross, because of taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. That gives him the right, that gives him the authority to judge us, to bless us, and to love us. Going right on into chapter 2. It reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Notice, the sins of the whole world. He paid the ultimate price for all of us to be bought back. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Even as he walked. He showed us the example of love. He poured that love upon us. We should live a God-glorifying life and share that love with others as well. And we'll wrap it up right here for now. And we'll get back into this next time, further studying about the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ that he pours upon us, that we can turn around and share that love with others out there in the world, that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ that comes into us, flows through us into the world, and lightens that darkness so they can see the pathway to come to Jesus Christ and receive that love that he has available for them. He loved all of us, all mankind, so much that he paid that ultimate price. That propitiation means the payment for the sin. He is that payment, which gives him the authority to judge us. Accept the love and share the love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, so much for the love that you pour upon us each and every day. Help us to realize that, to acknowledge that, and turn around and share that with others out there in the world. Thank you, oh, so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.